In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. There is a holy Orthodox bishop in the 20th century who's the Bishop of San Francisco. And he was looking forward to the solemn canonization of another saintly priest, St. John Kronstadt. And as is customary for us in the Byzantine tradition, before a canonization, there's an all-night prayer vigil. And that's to prepare the faithful in prayer for the celebration of the Divine Liturgy the next day. And that would be the time when the man or woman is actually recognized as an official saint to be venerated in the church. Well, on that particular night, there happened to be a Halloween party that was organized by the parishioners. And when the all-night vigil began, to the great sadness of Bishop John, only a few parishioners came. Most of the people were at the party. So after the vigil service, Bishop John entered the hall where the party was taking place. As he entered, the music stopped. And you could sense kind of a sadness among all the people who were attending the party. And Bishop John slowly walked through the hall, his staff in hand, but he never said a word. But within the entire room, among all the people, you could sense a consternation. And then the bishop left. The next day, for the Divine Liturgy, where all the people were gathered, the bishop reminded the people to seek first the kingdom of God. Such are the words imparted by our Lord Jesus of Nazareth to each and every baptized person in today's gospel passage. Seek first the kingdom of God. And more than that, the Lord goes on to tell us that one who wants to follow him, actually everybody, no person can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and you cannot serve mammon. And he instructs that those who are seeking the kingdom, do not be anxious. Don't be anxious about clothes and food and all these other earthly concerns. Now, is the Lord saying to each and every one of us that he expects us to go become nuns and monks in the monastery to live as hermits? Absolutely not. No, no. And the Lord does not say anywhere in the text that matters such as food and clothes and other bodily earthly concerns, he never says they're not important. But as the Lord is often wont to do in his manner of speech, he always wants to shake you and me. He wants to shake the audience out of their stupor. He wants to unsettle his audience. He wants to shake you and me out of our comfort zone. And so he gives these strong statements. You cannot serve God and man. Don't be anxious about the clothes you're going to wear or the food you're going to eat. What's the crux of what the Lord's saying? What's really underneath all that the Lord is saying? He's asking you and me this question. Where do you place your priorities in life? How do you occupy your time? What is your ultimate focus in life? Stated more starkly, what is mastering your life? I said, wait a minute. No. Nothing masters us. Oh, yes. There are things or people that master our lives. We all live the illusion that we really are totally free, and it's a lie. You and I are serving something or someone. What or who in your life do your decisions revolve around? All day long, you and I are making decisions. Hundreds, if not thousands, of decisions. We're always opting to do one thing over another. When we say that common expression today, I don't have time, I don't have time. Well, the reality is, underneath that is we're prioritizing all the time who we're going to call, what we're going to do, who we're going to hang out with, where we're going to go. We're always prioritizing. So the question is this: what is the center of gravity in your life? What really takes your heart? What grabs its attention? What is your heart really drawn toward? That's what the Lord is getting at. When I was in my first year of seminary back in 1996, I was taking a liturgy course from a rather well-known Benedictine priest. He was actually the head editor of the liturgical press back in the 50s and 60s. He was a man who was well-versed and knew very well the whole liturgical movement and the liturgical renewal that was going on in the 20th century. He was in the heart of it, translating books from German and French into English and making publications to get people more involved and more aware about the liturgy. He was doing all these things long before Vatican II. Father William Hite. And he told us the story one time in class when he was talking about liturgy. He was talking to a young boy. And he asked the boy, "What is liturgy?" And the young little boy said, "Oh, liturgy, that's what my parents and I do on Saturday evenings so we can go to the beach on Sundays." And in that decision by the parents, they demonstrated toward what their heart was gravitating toward. They were demonstrating, without saying a single word to the child, what was their priority. What do you seek first? What do you prioritize in your life? To read carefully the gospel lesson, the Lord does not say it is wrong to be concerned about what you're to eat, what you're to wear, and other bodily comforts or concerns. Reading carefully, the Lord says, is not life a greater thing than food, and the body than clothing? And that's the key. It's not that they're not important, but are not other things even more important? So how do we prioritize? And to help us understand where our priorities actually exist, we need to also look at our culture. Because our culture shapes us. Our culture forms us. Our culture molds us. Whether we want it to or not, we are formed by this culture from the moment of conception. We are being shaped and formed by a particular culture. In this case, it's the American culture, our society. And what kind of society do we live in? It's a capitalistic society. What does that merely mean? It's based on money. Based on investments, stock exchange, financial markets, and economics. Modern life, and it's just not here in the United States, it's throughout the entire Western world, is ruled by currency, the dollar, or the yen, or whatever you want to call it. It's a currency that really dictates how we live in the Western world. Money directs governments. Money directs elections. At the end of the day, people say, "How is your pocketbook?" That's who I'm going to vote for. Capital directs human relationships. It directs movement. It directs our actions. That's a capitalistic society. It's not truth. It's not goodness. It's not beauty. It's not God. It's not morality. It's money. In fact, if we want to try to change the culture, a business culture, or an ethos, what do? We boycott. We stop giving money. That's what speaks. That's what changes. Currency. The authors Christopher Dawson and Joseph Campbell wrote some time ago, if you want to know what a culture gravitates toward, look at your cityscapes, and the answer will reveal itself. While our churches are in major cities, they're hard to find. St. Patrick's Cathedral in Fort Worth, it can't be seen. Why? There are too many tall buildings around it. And what are these buildings? They're filled with offices. What are these offices? Insurance offices, bank offices, commerce building offices. New York City. New York City is the example to the world of the United States. And there's a beautiful cathedral there, St. Patrick's Cathedral. And yet, you would never know it's there because you can't find it in the midst of hundreds and hundreds of tall buildings all that dwarf this beautiful little cathedral. And what are all those hundreds and hundreds of buildings standing for and doing? They represent commerce. They represent money making. Another major American city that if you talk to people around the world, they know about. Chicago. A nice cityscape. Beautiful cityscape. And in somewhere in there is a cathedral called Holy Name. But unless you had a map and knew exactly where you're going, you would never find that cathedral because it's dwarfed and hidden away by all these surrounding tall buildings. And three of the four largest tall buildings are the Willis Tower, the Hancock Building, and the Aon Building. And all three of those buildings are dedicated to the same thing. Insurance buildings. What does it imply? What does it tell us? Our emphasis, our focus, is about safety, comfort, and what's paid for. That's what dominates us. That's what controls us. That's what we stand for as a culture. What is our priority? What is our ultimate concern? What really is our center of gravity? Two Sundays ago, the church celebrated All Saints. Last Sunday, the church gave us the account of the first four apostles, leaving everything behind to give themselves to the kingdom, who is Jesus Christ. And now today, the church gives us this passage. Seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, all these people, all these saints, they're no different than you and I. But they made the choice. They made a decision. They prioritized. Seek first the kingdom of God. Christ is among us.